Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. No matter how much money we have, it always seems we need more. We forget that lottery winners often end up bankrupt. Getting control of our love of money, that's our target as we analyze how misusing money can destroy our families. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on Till Debt Do Us Part.
And the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You know, when you talk about big money, people just lose it. They become crazy. Have you ever noticed all the athletes, not all of them, but many of them that have earned millions and millions of dollars ending up in bankruptcy? It's because big money does things to people. They sacrifice their families. They sacrifice their ethics. They sacrifice everything because of the love of money. So the Bible warns about that craving. Nothing wrong with money. We need it to live. But the craving to be rich is destructive. There's a third lesson, and that is that the use of our wealth is a test. It's a test brought into our lives by God to see where we should be slotted in the kingdom. Not everyone in the kingdom rules the same way. Jesus made this very clear. Just imagine during the 1,000-year kingdom, all Christians will have a part reigning somewhere, but some will have more territory. Some will have greater and more wonderful responsibilities. Just like a chandelier, all of the bulbs give light to a room, but there are some that are brighter than others. Jesus told parables about money, several of them. In one of them, he said that there were those who were given unequal amounts of money, but at the time of reward, they received the same reward because both were faithful or unfaithful, as the case may be, whether they had much or whether they had little. And then Jesus gave another parable in which he said this remarkable thing. He said, if you cannot be trusted with the unrighteous money, I kind of like the King James here, with filthy lucre, it says. Who in the world thinks of money as filthy lucre? Go to Wall Street. Go to your bank. Talk to your neighbors. People say, oh, I don't love money. No, but you date it and you enjoy it, and you think about it all the time. But Jesus said this. He said, if you cannot be entrusted with unrighteous money, how are you going to be entrusted with the true riches? I don't know how the judgment seat of Jesus Christ is going to be like, because all Christians will appear there. But I can imagine, and this is kind of scary, because I personally take the point of view that not everyone is going to do well at the judgment seat, and that's why I worry so much about myself. Some Christians think, oh, you know, we're all going to just get a pat on the hand and we get into, no, it's very serious. It is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I assume that Jesus will show us our bank statements. He'll show us our checkbooks. And on this basis, he'll say, you know, some of you are going to have greater responsibility in the kingdom, and some of you a very limited responsibility, because if you can't be trusted with money, how am I going to trust you with the true riches, said Jesus. It's very sobering. Well, there's a fourth lesson, and that is that get-rich-quick schemes are deceitful. Avoid them. You know, I wish I had time to speak about the lottery and gambling, except to say this, it is one of the greatest deceptions that is perpetrated upon American people. On the south side here in Chicago, there was a billboard that said two ways to have a better life. One way, get up early in the morning, work hard, come home late at night, work 6 days a week. The other way, play the lotto. Even as we are gathered here today, there are people who are using their money unwisely because of lotto fever. And then you hear the ads, and then I always am amused at, gambling problem, call 3-1, right? Why aren't you as clear giving that? In fact, that's a phone number that should be given over and over again. Folks, I could explain to you why this is a bad deal, but don't go there. But I'm not only thinking of that. I'm thinking of a man whom I happen to know who went into their savings, their retirement fund, and used it because he did due diligence online, didn't tell his wife, bad idea, and he did due diligence online and was making an investment that he absolutely was certain was going to help them financially. Well, that's an old story, but he lost it all. The marriage held together, thankfully, because he did what everybody should do in that situation, namely confess it to his wife and figure out where to go from there, and thank God their marriage survived. But don't fall into these get-rich-quick schemes, no matter how much pressure, no matter how tight the place is that you are in financially. Wish I could say more about that. I know a friend who said he's made so many bad financial decisions that he's convinced that if he were to buy a cemetery, people would quit dying, he says. We have to hurry to number 5. The devil, dirt, and debt are bedfellows. They're related to one another. You know, the Bible tells us that we should owe no man anything. Now, some of us, we do go into debt. For example, we have a mortgage. Because the whole idea in America is that if you buy a house, it is an increasing investment. Now, that's been challenged during the days of the mortgage crisis, but generally that's true. But you think of all of the debt that is accumulated for items that depreciate. You know, the Bible says this, and isn't it accurate? Proverbs 22, verse 7, the borrower is the servant to the lender. And some of you who live with creditors, you know what that is like. You become a servant to those who have lent you money. Debt is a terrible, terrible pit to fall into. And you think of all of the credit card debt that people have, something like an average of 9,000. But that means that many people are way beyond the 9,000 because there are some people who pay off their credit cards at the end of every month. And so that takes into account the fact that there are those who are constantly, constantly going into debt. It's a terrible, terrible pit. Now, I want to speak to you frankly about this because, you know, when Rebecca and I were first married, we thought that some debt was okay. Whatever you needed, you put on a credit card. And then later we discovered, you know, we actually have to pay this off. And at an amazing rate of interest. If you pay only the interest or make the monthly payment, take years and years and years because of high interest rates. There was a time when families looked at situations very differently. And you see, what we've done is we've undercut God. Let me explain. There was a time when families would say, you know, we need a new car. The old one is just absolutely broken down. It's not running anymore. And we need a better vehicle for our family. So we don't have any money for it. Very little money. Can't go out and buy one. So let's pray together and ask God to do a miracle and to give us a better car. And they would cry up to the Lord. They would pray to God and say, God, you know our need. And somebody in church would see them and say, you know, I have a car that I think you folks could use. I'd like to give it to you. The whole family would rejoice in the fact that God answered prayer. We don't have that today. You walk in and you can, for 0% interest, and probably make the first payment within 6 months or a year. I don't know exactly how all that works. But you don't need to pray to God, because whatever you want, you can buy on credit. Now, there was a time when God led his people. The way in which God leads us is through poverty and through money or lack of it. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said to the Israelites something very interesting. He said, I led you in that wilderness, and there was no food, but I provided manna, and I provided clothing so that you might trust me, you see. We don't need that trust today. We have the credit card. Some of you, quite frankly, should do some plastic surgery at this point. I can lend you some scissors. Those of you who are young people, you know, high school students going into college debt. I read that about, a third of college students wish that they hadn't gone to college because all that they graduated with was a lot of debt and oftentimes very poor jobs. You know that there are alternatives out there. I've talked to Pastor Bob about that, and he sent me some very good alternatives to counsel young people. But you see, the debt is absolutely overwhelming. I'd like to leave a challenge with you. Don't accumulate new debt. Don't accumulate new debt. Now, that might not always be possible, but if that would be a bottom line, that from today on we trust God. We're in a hole, we're in a pit, maybe of our own making, but we trust God. And see, as you cry up to him, whether or not he shows up and helps you so that you are not overwhelmed by continual debt. That is incredibly important. Well, my friend, I can't help but think that today's message was heard by many people who perhaps are in debt. Now, I think that some debt can be legitimate. For example, Rebecca and I purchased a house and we have a mortgage. And if you use your credit card wisely and pay it off at the end of every month, that also is a wise move. But I've known people who have maxed out their credit card. I know people who buy everything, basically, and go into debt. Now, can you imagine how different our homes would be if we were able to afford everything that we decided to buy? What freedom that brings. So take very seriously the admonition that I gave when I said don't accumulate any more new debt. And you know, this particular message is part of a larger series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family. And we're making it available as a video series along with a discussion guide so that you can discuss issues that oftentimes divide the family. Because my desire is that there be unity in your home and not disunity. May God help us. Now you stay tuned for a very important message.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. We're hearing Till Debt Do Us Part, the fifth of 10 messages on fighting for your family. Some say, why pray about a need when you can flash a credit card and buy what you want? Next time, more on how to say goodbye to the scourge of debt. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.